Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about Nehemiah and how he was called after 141 years to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. And this wall and this rebuilding represents your life, the ruin in your life. And the wall was in ruin, the city was in ruin, and he was called to establish the civil government and also to build the wall around the city so it would be a center of refuge, restoration, and safety. That's what God wants to do with our lives. He wants to establish His government in us, the kingdom, and He wants you to become a person of refuge, safety, that when people come to you, they can really get solutions for life. Because you've been through something, you've allowed that government to establish you, and they can come to you and get real answers for their life. And that's the idea. That's the whole call of God on our life, is to line our lives up with His Word and His will. He sent His Word to heal us. We all need healing. And we're going to talk about something today that is not the most popular topic, but I'm here to tell you it will bring healing in your life. We're going to talk about pride today. It's something that's in us all, and we're always going to have to be coming against it. Now, I'm going to use from the book of Esther, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and Esther, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. And Esther was the protagonist of this book, and Haman would be the antagonist. What happened to Haman is probably the best example in the Bible of when pride and rage is neglected, what it can do to destroy your life. Pride will destroy you. It will destroy you and anything that God is trying to do in your life. And that's why we got to understand this pride. Because pride is like carbon monoxide. You can't smell it, but it's killing you. And that's the way pride is. It's deadly. And we have to begin to treat it that way and recognize it. You see, when we recognize it, now we can really make a decision to really change. We're not going to say, oh, I'm going to change, and then just go off. We're going to say, that's what's keeping me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then you really can do something about it. You got to take the responsibility for where you are today, right? It talks about in Proverbs 16:32, he who rules his own spirit is better than he who takes a city. You see, God wants you to rule in your own heart and your own life before you begin to take the city. And that's the kingdom. Where's the kingdom? It's in you. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a woman that takes leaven and puts it in three small measures of meal, and it spreads and fills the whole, every jar. You see, that's what it is. The kingdom just keeps spreading like in bread, just fills it up. It's just swelling. It's swelling in the community. The kingdom, it's ruling in us. Now listen, we're going to talk about the character of pride, the deadliness and destruction of pride, and the cure. Haman got to a position of like prime minister, and he commanded that people bow down to him, and Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. So Haman got bitter and negative towards Mordecai. See, Mordecai refused to give respect where respect wasn't due. And when you demand respect from somebody, that right there, that's pride to begin with. Now, C.S. Lewis has this meaning for pride that I haven't come across any as good as this. This is what pride is. Ruthless, sleepless, unsmiling concentration on the self. Look at that word ruthless. The word ruth means compassion. Less. Compassionless. In other words, I don't have no compassion. Compassion's always about others. I'm focused on me. You see? Ruthless. Ruthless, sleepless, unsmiling concentration on the self. Now, pride concentrates everything about you. So it keeps you from healthy relationships. If it doesn't make me feel good or I don't benefit in it, I don't want to be a part of it. That's pride. Now listen, unless it makes you feel good about yourself, you don't want anything to do with it. C.S. Lewis talked about a prideful man will lust after a beautiful woman, and then it's not about the woman, and it's not even about, it's about just that he can have a sexual relationship with another beautiful woman. It's not about the woman, or it's just that, so his friends know, and you see that? That's ugly. That's pride. Pride turns everything to a means to an end. It never does anything in itself. It always is demanding respect or approval. Pride never gets satisfaction from its accomplishments. Haman wants people to respect him and approve of him just because, for him. It's not about people. What you do is you're always asking, am I getting appreciated here? You have this endless ego calculation. Am I getting appreciated here? Or am I being recognized here? Am I being regarded? What do I look like in this situation? Here's pride. Superiority and inferiority. Superiority, how do I look? Am I being regarded and am I being appreciated? What do I look like? That's being high. You think you're above something. Superiority. Inferiority is you look down on yourself. You feel less than. You're always complaining about yourself to others that you can't do this, you can't do that. That's pride. A lot of people don't think that's pride. That's pride at its worst. Because who's your mind on? You know what? It's not your parents' problem. It's not what your parents did to you. It's not what your spouse has done to you. It's not what your children have done to you. It's not what your boss has done to you. It's not what your teachers have done to you. What you done? That's what it is. Pride never wants to take the heat. Pride always wants to blame somebody else. Now listen, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. So inferiority and superiority aren't brothers to humility. There's no connection. Humility is on its own. People that are humble, they're not needy. You know, you need to recognize me. You need to say, you know, appreciate me. You know, you need to, you know, say thank you. That's important, but you know, you got to have that because you want to be recognized. You see, that's what happens in marriages. One of the other person feels like they're not being recognized and they're not being at the place the other. But folks, listen, a marriage that's healthy and two people are walking in humility, they're always trying to build each other up. Always looking out for the welfare and well-being of the other. That's the way a marriage is supposed to be. How can that fail? When I'm always looking out for the well-being and welfare of my spouse, and they're always looking out for the welfare and well-being of, you see, this idea of getting respect or approval is not humility. People who are humble are joyful people. They're joyful people. They got joy. Joy, it's like they bring joy to the place. It takes humility to maintain an element of joy. And it's real. And it's protecting them. That's the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy, no matter what's happening out here, no matter what's been done, are maintaining joy because they're under the rule of something else. In C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, he talked about a senior devil writing to a junior devil and how they tempt human beings. Now listen to this. In the Screwtape Letters, Jesus is the enemy. So try to get with me on this, okay? He says, because Jesus is the enemy, right? He says, you must conceal from your patient, or the human being, that would be us, the real form of humility. In other words, he's trying to lie to him. And let him think it's not as forgetfulness, but as a low opinion of his own talents and character to thwart the enemy, who would be Jesus. In other words, to have a lesser way of seeing yourself, a lesser way of seeing your gifts and talents. Now watch this. He wants to bring the patient or us, you know, we're to a place where if a great cathedral is built, he would not be concerned with who got the credit and would be just as happy or joyful if it had been accomplished by another. That's what Jesus is trying to get us to. That's humility. But you see, the enemy's trying to get you to think opposite. Our enemy wants, meaning Jesus, wants to turn the man's attention away from self altogether. And it becomes vainglory or self-contempt. And it keeps the mind on the self and can end up in cynicism or cruelty. That is when we don't yield to Jesus. We become cruel and cynical and jaded in our perception of things. Now, you guys remember Archie Bunker? You know, I'm not a big Archie Bunker guy. You know, I'm just not. Actually, you know who I liked? I liked Edith. I remember this episode where Edith was going to her class reunion. And she went to see her class reunion and Archie went with her. And, you know, let's call him Henry. Her old boyfriend was Henry. Well, Henry had become obese, you know, over the years. And so she was talking to Henry and just enjoying it. And so they get back from their class reunion and Edith goes, Archie, wasn't Henry such a beautiful person? And Archie goes, Edith, you're a pip. That blimp, how can you see what I see? We can both look at the same thing and you see one thing and I see another. She goes, isn't it too bad? Don't you like that? That's humility. See, the way she saw things and the way he saw it was totally different. He was always jaded and always cynical and negative. You know what I'm saying? Oh, boy. Pride is ruthless, sleepless, unsmiling concentration on the self. Haman says to the king, give me permission to slaughter this group of people that Mordecai was over. The Jews would be like the Holocaust. It's very similar. Now watch this. This group of people and plunder their goods and you will get the goods. Now listen, Haman makes a law, and when a king made a law and a decree, it became irrevocable. So once it was made, it couldn't change. Thousands of people, thousands of Jews died, and the king got all the wealth and distributed it to their army. Now listen. Pride, one thing that pride does, it makes you a fool. It keeps you from learning from your mistakes because you're always self-justifying. It keeps you from healthy relationships. It does not work out. Your job doesn't work out. This doesn't work out. Nothing ever works out because you are constantly making these calculations and trying to figure it out. And that's pride. Folks, we have to understand this because this is what's keeping us from getting healthy. Now listen, you always say it's him or her or them and it's never you. That's what pride does. You can't learn from your mistakes. Humble people are not always looking at themselves, or not. not always standing on their own dignity. As a result, they begin to learn and are able to make changes. You see? And that's what we all need. We need to see that, hey, yes, this is wrong. Yes, this problem. You know, yes, this person didn't. But what did I do to do something wrong here? Where am I wrong in this? That's what a humble person sees. They have a part in this, right? And that's why you can be better. I want to be better. I want to be a better pastor. Well, why? Because I want to be the best pastor. I want to be the best grandparent I can be, right? I want to be the best student. I want to be better. Well, I like the way I am. Well, don't you think you need to do something better? Improve? I want to be the best husband I can be. Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right. When something goes wrong, they look at it to see where they have made the mistakes. And they grow from the experience. And they make necessary adjustments to correct the problems. Proud people hate constructive criticism. It's the superiority form. And then when you tell somebody who's inferior, they just want to give you all these and you just say, the heck with it. They're always, I can't do this, I can't do that. And the person that's trying to help them, they just say, the heck with it. You see how they work? Inferiority and inferiority. Now listen, because you don't learn from your mistakes and are not able to receive healthy, constructive criticism, you constantly make bad choices. You choose wrong jobs. You choose wrong friendships. You choose wrong boyfriends. You choose wrong girlfriends. You make bad financial decisions. You continue to make wrong choices because superiority makes you overestimate your gifts, and inferiority makes you underestimate your gifts and talents. You're always down on yourself because the people who are over you are always threatening and intimidating. They constantly make, and you are constantly making miscalculations just like Haman. I want you to read about Haman. The root of all sin is pride. Pride is evil. The devil became the devil because of pride. Bitterness. Bitterness is pride. Resentment is pride. Holding a grudge, that's pride. You ever get around people that hold a grudge and they'll tell you they hold a grudge? They're going, oh, I'm a person, I hold a grudge. Well, you know why they tell you that? So you don't act a certain way towards them and they can always have a little something on you. That's pride. That right there keeps you from really growing. You can't stay angry at someone or resentful towards someone unless you feel superior. Because you're saying in your own little heart, I would never do that. See, we got to understand this if we're going to really build. We're not going to be a church where we go to church and we sing songs. We're going to be a church where we get solutions and answers. And people, when they see you, they see love. They see God in you. Am I making sense? Now watch this. Paralyzing fear, worry. You know how, when you worry, you know how things are supposed to work out. You think you know it. That's what worry is. Worry is steeped in pride. We're not getting the grace on it. Pride leads to being opinionated. You ever get around people, they always want to give you their opinion. That's steeped in pride. But also fearful because you are afraid of how you are going to look. That's what pride does. When you're opinionated, it's always because there's a fearful, because you're concerned about how you are going to look. You always want to give another solution, another idea, because that one there, just I don't know about it, so I want to give you an opinion. Pride makes you shy. Well, they're just shy. You know, just leave them be, they're just shy. That's pride. Well, I'm not a person who likes to be around people, and I'm just kind of shy, you know. Who are they thinking about? They're thinking about themselves. Abrasive people. You ever get around somebody, they're just abrasive, toxic. Oh, man, it is rough to be around. That's superiority. They think they're better because they're always trying to find something on you, and abrasive. That's another form. That's superiority. Now, you know, racism, interracial marriage. I was asked, do you believe in interracial marriage? I said, no, I don't believe in interracial marriage. There's only one race. There's no such thing in the kingdom. And you know what else? There's only two kind of people, believers and unbelievers. And they don't mix in a marriage. What am I going to do? Look at your house when the real you's on the inside of that house? That's superiority. I'm better than you? Or, you know, I can't get next to you. See, this is pride. You know why I'm doing this? Because, folks, I'm hoping you'll catch this and you'll be able to build now. You see? You'll be able to build. Now look, religious pride, that stuff is ugly. Religious pride. You ever get around people that, man, you go into a place and you just feel like, man, I can't wait to get out of here. You know, it's just like they're judging you and looking at what you got on. And, you know, I visited someone the other day and they said, yeah, somebody walked by and they had tattoos. I couldn't believe they had all. I'm thinking, man, it took my breath away. You know, I just had to, bless him, Lord, grace. You understand? That's pride, religious pride. This guy, he had a drinking problem. And he was drinking and he was getting ready to get on the subway. So he'd been out all night and he had lipstick on his collar and kind of grungy looking and rough. Had a bottle of gin in his pocket. He gets on the subway and has a newspaper and he starts reading his newspaper. And he sits down to with a priest. And the priest is sitting there. He's reading his newspaper and he looks over at the priest. He says, hey, just what causes arthritis? And the priest looks at him, looks at his shoes and looks at him. And he's all tattered. He says, immorality causes arthritis and drinking too much and staying out too late and just living a careless, sloppy life. That's what causes arthritis. And the priest stops, you know. The guy's kept reading his paper. And the priest thought, oh man, I was hard on him. And so the priest says, you know, just how long have you had arthritis? The guy looks over and he goes, oh, I don't have arthritis. He says, I was just reading that the Pope has arthritis. That's religious pride, right? You ever get around snobby people? Some of you say, I hate to be around snobby people. Guess what? If you hate to be around snobby people, you're a snob. That's what it is. When you're around snobby, you ever get people, I just don't like to be around snobby people. You ever hear that? That's a high form of superiority. Is this making sense? So many people hate to be around snobs, and they don't like that snobbery. But that's what they are. Because humble people, they don't feel above anybody. They don't see that. See that? They see the person. Now look, haven't you been thinking about somebody else, as we've been talking, that needs to be and hear this? You know, I know a lot of you are thinking, man, I wish so-and-so was here. Right? That's that carbon monoxide. It's working. Did you catch that? All right. Here's the solution. God is the solution. We need to obey God and cry out to God. That will deal with our sociological, psychological ills of pride. Here it is. Haman, all right, built a gallows, and his whole idea that he was going to hang Mordecai because he didn't like that Jew over the gates and taking care of people. Now watch this. He built a gallows to make a public spectacle out of Mordecai, to hang him on the day in which the Jews were going to be slaughtered. The king at that time, Artaxerxes, couldn't sleep. Now listen. He woke up in the middle of the night and he remembered Mordecai had saved his life. He woke up in the middle of the night. Now stay with me. He woke up in the middle of the night and recognized that Mordecai one day had saved his life. And then Haman walks in the door. So King Artaxerxes says, what would really could we do to honor the king and that he would delight in what we do? Now, Haman walks in and he says, what should we do for a man that the king delights to honor? Thinking that the king was talking to Haman, that, oh, he wants to honor me. But see, he's thinking because of the dream he just had, he wants to honor Mordecai. Now, what should we do? Thinking the king means him. He comes up with a fast proposal. This is what Haman says. Let the king's robes be put on that man. In other words, he's thinking, I'm going to get the robes put on me. I mean, this is really, when a king gave his robe to somebody, this meant that you're now going to be the next king. You are the one I love. You are the one I honor. Here's why Haman was excited. If the people out there saw that if I was loved like that, not just loved, but by someone like that, by someone as great as that, I am loved by the king, then they will know, I will know my worth and my value. You see, he was looking for approval. Wasn't about even being the king. You know what happened? Total reversal. Mordecai ended up getting the robe and was raised up in the pinnacle. Haman had to pull the horse's cart and walk beside Mordecai while he's all getting all the glory. You see this? The Bible says, if you exalt yourself, God will humble you. But if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. You see that? God will exalt you in your influence, in your anointing, in what really longs to be in your heart, to be effective in your family, to be effective in your community. Now listen, why is this principle universal? If you seek to bring yourself up, you will be brought down. It's universal because it's God's principle. It's God's principle. Haman did not ask for the wrong thing. He wasn't asking for the wrong thing. He was asking for the right thing. He was just asking the wrong king. You see, we have a king who reversed roles with us. He took all our mess on him. It was God's plan, but he was glad to do it. And he voluntarily did it. When you understand that right there, boy, I tell you, that makes you confident. That makes you, oh man, I know who I am. That isn't pride. I know who I am because of my king. I'm going to the right king. He made himself of no reputation. Coming in the likeness of man and being found in the form of a servant, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To God be the glory forever and forever and forever. You see, when you understand that, you no longer need somebody to approve you. You don't mind doing a job because you know that I'm going to get to where I'm going. I'm going to do this the best I can for my God and my man, because you know he's glad to serve you. You see that? And you're glad to serve him, because who's the greatest? The one who serves.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.